This Stutter Talk podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Support this free service by donating at any amount, $5, $10, or $100 at stuttertalk.com.
Welcome to Stutter Talk, everybody. Eric Jackson here with Peter. Peter Reitzis.
Recording live from Stutterland.
From the Stutter Talk studios. I thought we were going to be saying that.
That's what I meant to say. And I am no longer going to yell.
Yeah, and we're creating an image here. Stutter Talk at stuttertalk.com. 206-888-4619. Want to announce at the top of the show that the Brooklyn College NSA support group is this Thursday. It's from 7 to 9 on the second floor of the Student Center, Glenwood Lounge at Brooklyn College. We have a great group. Come down and hang out if you feel like seeing some people who like to talk about stuttering.
There's a couple self-help conferences that Stutter Talk would love to get to over the summer of 2010. These conferences cost thousands of dollars. And Eric and I are looking for ways to raise some funds so that we can record from these conferences and bring to you, the listener, people who stutter, the voices of parents, the voices of children, and the voices of some professionals as well. So we came up with the idea of sponsoring episodes. So for you listeners, if you would like to help us get to these conferences, consider sponsoring an episode of Stutter Talk for $100. What that means is if you or you and a couple friends or if your support group chapter would like to sponsor an episode, make a donation to Stutter Talk for $100, and we will announce several times during the episode that that episode is being sponsored by you.
And if you make it to New York, Peter has agreed to give you a massage as well.
At the very least, I will send you a picture of my cat. I don't know.
The fact of the matter is here that there are a bunch of conferences, and certainly we can pay our way for one of the conferences, but we really think it's important that all the conferences are represented in some way here at Stutter Talk. So that's why we're really asking for donations here.
Yeah, we want to bring as many voices into the conversation as we can. So go to stuttertalk.com, click on the yellow donate button, and for $100, you and your friends can sponsor an episode of Stutter Talk. Okay, big topic for today. We assigned a clip to listen to from the Stuttering homepage from the section titled Voices Past and Present, a 1975 interview with Charles Van Riper, who is considered one of the grandfathers of speech pathology. He was, quote, a severe stutterer himself, and he really wrote about and published about many of the tools we still use today. Cancellations, pullouts. He's really known for being the father of stuttering modification therapy, which is really based on, you know, you speak just fine, you need to learn how to stutter better. That's basically the viewpoint he was coming from.
Mm-hmm. Well, we gotta say, or I gotta say, that it's clear listening to this audio that Van Riper loved to hear himself talk. And I'm not taking anything away from Van Riper here. The guy has molded our field. He's the grandfather of not just the stuttering field, but all of speech pathology. But he just loves to go on. Like, he cuts people off. If he has something to say, it doesn't matter if anybody else is in the room.
You know, I think maybe I'm completely wrong with this, but when I listen to Van Riper talk, I think to myself, we have become as a culture so politically correct and so careful, and we tiptoe around, and that's good and that's bad. And I think Van Riper is saying things that strike me as being very tough, lovey. And he even says at some point in the audio clip, well, you know, you just got to try. Like, basically saying he might not be right, but you got to do something. So I really got the feeling he was, like, throwing things against the wall to see if they stick. I think he knows – I got the feeling he sensed he knows he's a little tough, maybe pushy.
What did he say exactly? The kindest – gentlest man who will ever cut your throat, or something like that.
Exactly. So let's get into a few of the things he says. Eric, I've got a big quote here. I'm going to break it down into pieces and get your quick comments because I'd like to get through the quote. So first, Van Riper modeled a really hard stutter of how he used to stutter. And then he said, I would have to be a psychotic to be willing to accept that sort of thing, meaning such a hard stutter. Eric, before I go on, and care to comment, or should I keep going?
I think he's saying what everybody feels. And in the past couple of shows, I've been expressing a lot of my own concerns, troubles, problems I've been having with dealing with my own stuttering. And it's interesting, because a part of me feels guilty in the sense that you work so hard, and the mantras, the sayings in the field are stuttering is okay, right? You should feel okay to stutter. It's okay to stutter. And so many people preach that, and I preach it, we preach it. But increasingly, I am beginning to feel, as I've expressed on this show, like I don't want to stutter out of control anymore. I want to do something to change my speech.
Yeah, my thoughts are all over the place on this right now, but I'm getting the feeling that stuttering went from it's okay to stutter as part of a therapy process to now where it's always okay to stutter. And I think both are fine, but from listening to Van Riper, he seemed to think stuttering was, I can't speak for him, but it was part of a process of therapy. But at some point, you want to move on from the hard stuttering to easy stuttering. And I seem to, and he basically said in the clip, stutterers can do this. Not some stutterers, all stutterers. I'm not agreeing with him, but he basically said, all of you can be fluent.
I think you hit the nail right on the head there. It's fun to be part of a support world. It's really fun to have your stuttering friends where everybody goes around, has this mantra. I think what Van Riper is saying is that it's also fun to work on your speech because you don't want to stutter out of control all the time or a lot of the time. It goes back to this idea of tough love, you know? Yes, we have to accept the stuttering, and that's a crucial part. And why I want to take this a little further is because I feel like right now, this is the place where I personally am at, you know? Having done so much work accepting, it's okay to stutter, I'm going to go out there and be stuttering guy. What Van Riper says is that it's okay to accept that stuttering is your problem. It's okay to accept stuttering in that way. Like, yeah, go out there and be proud that you're starting to come to terms with this thing. But he's being frank, and no one says this anymore. What about changing your speech?
Well, I want to put you on the spot here a little bit.
Okay.
I agree with most of what you just said. However, the one, the no, I do.
That's our tagline on this show.
However, you said Van Riper thought it would be fun. I think what Van Riper thought, and he said in the clip we played, we assigned, is that it's hard work. So I don't know if he thinks it's fun. I do think he's very clear that it's hard work, and I think that's something else that might get lost. I'm not sure how much we talk enough about anymore speech therapy and making changes as being hard work.
I know that next week on the show we're going to really talk about the four phases as Van Riper proposed them of stuttering modification. What was that article again we're going to specifically discuss?
I think it's from the veilsofstuttering.com website where I believe it's Daryl Dodge put together an outline from Charles Van Riper's Treatment of Stuttering textbook. So he basically breaks down a couple chapters or maybe one chapter from that textbook and puts down the design, outlines the design of Van Riper's approach to therapy. And it's really neat to go through that stuff. So go to stuttertalk.com and in the left-hand sidebar, there will be a link to this outline. He's calling it a study guide of Charles Van Riper's The Treatment of Stuttering.
Yeah. And I don't really want to get into the specific phases right now. However, I will say that where it seems like a lot of people get caught up, and I've certainly got caught up in the support world, is we get caught up in this desensitization period.
I agree.
Learning to feel okay about yourself for stuttering, which is, I mean, in my eyes, imperative, and obviously, as Van Riper says, imperative too, but it's only one stage and then we stop. And I don't know what it is. The fact is that he proposes some other stages on the path to recovery for a stutterer that I heard about, was introduced to, but don't think that I've taken them that seriously, and I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Now, you see, I'm smiling now.
No. You're going to say I told you so, and that's fine.
It's not
whatever.
I told you so, but I'm smiling because of the skill of all this, because, okay, we'll say I told you so. I mentioned
you're not
to you,
allowed to do that,
I
bro.
I mentioned to you a few weeks on the show that...
And you're like 50 years old. Obviously, you've had a little bit more.
Okay, I was trying to be productive with what I was going to say, but it's just going to come off as awful. So
just say it.
Then
we'll go from there.
No, I agree with you that there's a lot of stress on being open about stuttering and accepting stuttering. And it seems like there's less stress on stuttering more easily. And, you know, again, nobody has to want that for themselves. And I'm not going to go out like Van Riper has done and says everybody can get there. I'm not going to do that.
He actually goes as far as to say, I feel terrible for the stutterer who is not fulfilling his potential, you know, because I know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I cut you off. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. You know, let's play a clip by Van Riper now and hear what he has to say.
Who is going to be willing to be a stutter like I was for a year? Years? I'd have to be psychotic to be willing to accept that kind of thing. No, sir. You can accept it only as a problem for something that you have to solve. But these therapists who suggest that stutter be willing to stutter, I think that's outrageous. It asks the impossible. On the other hand, you can ask them to study what they're doing, to learn how to change what they're doing, and to find an easier way of responding to the fear of stuttering or to the feel of stuttering. If when fear comes, he doesn't just panic, but he tackles that word carefully. If a moment of stuttering comes, he finds an easier way out of it besides making faces, all the unnecessary things that he's learned. No, you can be willing to work, but you can't be willing to stutter, I don't think.
Eric is laughing right now. We're having a good moment because we're comparing notes, and apparently we both have the same exact paragraph highlighted to talk about. So let me summarize this quickly. Basically, Van Riper is saying there are ways to investigate our stutter, to identify our stuttering, and to change it to an easier, more forward-moving type of stutter. And then he ends that whole thing with what Eric and I were just laughing about. You got to be willing to work, but you can't be willing to stutter. Wow.
And clearly Van Riper here is speaking from a therapeutic perspective. If he was, say, talking from a self-help support group perspective, that statement would not have come out. However, what we were just saying in this show is that, yeah, that support and self-help is a crucial step. I know at one point they kind of teased him for putting a timetable on like how long the phases were supposed to be or something. Like who knows how long a person has to go out and just be willing to accept stuttering. And I have to say what makes it really tough is the fact that if you come at a person who is still in that desensitization phase and still needs just to go out and stutter. Right. To hear these things is like, hey man, how do you know what I need? F you.
Yeah.
I still need to do this stuff.
Yeah. I think the problem is that one could stay in the desensitization stage until the earth freezes over.
So I'm,
it's possible.
Sorry to cut you off, but, and this could be taken as an insensitive remark here. However, I'm starting to agree with you more because
I need an applause track there. I'm sorry.
Shut up, dude. It gets comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, you
that was a
become
cancel-
a person.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was.
That's what I meant a couple weeks ago when I said to you, you do seem to sometimes cancel.
Over the past couple of days, especially since I've been listening, reading a little bit about Van Riper,
okay.
I started to intentionally use them now.
Okay. I'm
anyway.
Sorry. You were saying that you were starting to agree with me and I got all excited.
Oh. Right. No, but. There's something that gives you an incredible feeling of self-worth and importance and pride to really work hard on going out there, putting your stuttering out there, not avoiding, not hiding. However, I personally, and I'm just going to speak from my own vantage point here, I want something more. And I think a lot of people want something more. And sometimes when we get involved in self-help and we get involved in this world where literally the mantra is it's okay to stutter. Yeah. Like how are you supposed to take that and then at the same time be like, oh, but wait a second. I also want to work on my speech. Yeah. It's very confusing.
I think you were there a couple weeks ago.
I think over probably the past couple months, and in actuality, it was probably longer than that, and everything's a process, and everything, you know, is gradual. Yeah. I right now I'm in this place where I think I I want to kind of move away from the fact that, hey, what I should do in situations if I have to stutter is just let myself stutter, as opposed to trying to do something which at first might feel like I'm, you know, being a sellout. Like, why not let stuttering out? And of course, then the guilt comes in, right? So we're not just guilty for stuttering. We're also on this path to recovery, guilty for not stuttering.
Well, I have a mantra, and I don't know if I've said it on the show, but I'm going to say it now. It's come up recently that sometimes I get crap for not stuttering enough. It's one of my mantras is that I don't apologize for stuttering, but I don't apologize for not stuttering. And I do think there's this idea that we're selling out if we're stuttering less or if we are making our stuttering smoother.
And you know what's really interesting to me is the fact that the self-help world, I'll just say, says, you know, it's a place to be accepted. It's a place to stutter freely, but it's also a place to work on your speech if that's what you want to do. But I feel like a lot of times that third point is overlooked, and it's like, yeah, it's okay to stutter, and it's okay to feel okay about stuttering. But what about working on your speech?
You know, I'm going to say, I heard an interview today, somebody was talking about Jimmy Buffett, and they Thomas Friedman, the writer for New York Times.
I've been on Jimmy Buffett's boat before.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that off air.
My friend was the captain of his yacht.
Oh, my goodness.
Why is that not interesting to you?
It's very interesting. So I drove past his house this summer.
Okay, that is an interesting. Please go with your point.
Well, it's fascinating because he lives very low-key because my wife is from his hometown. Wait, I don't mean Jimmy Buffett. He's the singer.
Yeah.
No. I mean the investor.
Cheeseburgers in Paradise.
No, I mean the investor.
Warren Buffett.
Damn it. Okay. So Thomas Friedman was paraphrasing something that Warren Buffett had said. Warren Buffett had said that, look, one of the reasons or the main reason I'm successful is I was born and I was in the right place at the right time. I feel that a lot of my stuttering success has been because I've been in the right place at the right time. And when I found a support chapter, there was a lot of diversity in my chapter. And so I went into support wanting to stutter on purpose and just starting to get up that courage and wanting to stutter openly and wanting to use speech tools. And there were people in my support chapter in Manhattan who hated speech tools. And there were people who hated stuttering on purpose. And there were people who came only to practice. And there were people who came to say, I've given up on speech therapy. I only want to stutter. And I found such strength in that diversity. And I just one more thing. When I went to self-help, sometimes I just talked, but I often use that time to practice speech tools. And I just remember feeling so great having a safe place to use pullouts, to pause, to voluntarily stutter.
I do want to make the point here, though, that Van Riper in this clip, it sounds like he's speaking from a therapist's point of view, not a stutterer's point of view. And I just want to go on record and say, if a person is still in this phase where they are cool or they want to show the world they stutter, I guess you could also say, if a person has even rejected speaking strategies, speech therapy, because it doesn't work for them, that's totally cool in my book, and that should always be cool, you know, especially in the self-help and support world. My comments, my remarks today are because I think I'm looking for something more than that, and I think I'm looking to get into one of these later phases in his treat. Okay.
Now, what's really interesting is that Van Riper is basically saying that anyone who stutters is capable of fluency. Now, he also said, of course, the stuttering is still there, but you're capable of modifying the stuttering so that when you stutter, you're working through it. And he made the point that even though you don't hear him stuttering, he's stuttering a lot. Now, I agree with that point because I can talk and appear, quote, fluent, but I work through so many stutters all the time. And most people would have no idea that I'm easily initiating that word, that I'm pulling out, that I'm anticipating a stutter, so I'm using an easy onset. It's comforting and bothersome to hear him say that anybody can make these changes. I say it's comforting because the last thing I want to do to any person who stutters is say to that person, no. I fear you are a confirmed chronic stutterer and you're not going to be able to make changes that you want to make. I don't want to say that or think that about human beings. I also don't want the person who's really, really tried to stutter less to feel that I don't think they're working hard enough. Which is one of the reasons I always think it's so important to figure out where the person is, where they want to go, and to help them get there. And maybe that sounds too simple, but that's
of course it does, right? Not saying that you're not speaking from a stutterer's perspective, right? But let's just take a step back. And when a person's in a hard place with stuttering, that doesn't make sense, and it's not that simple.
I agree with you. And this was one of those spots where my own experience flavors my view on this because I can.
Which he actually.
Yeah. He, and Van Riper, as Eric just said, also says this. I just can remember feeling very bad about myself and feeling that I was not ever going to be a good communicator. And it took other people to say to me, well, yeah, you are a good communicator now. And you can be a better communicator. And what's interesting is Van Riper makes a point of saying, and he might be right about this, that people who stutter...
You're saying Van Riper might be right. I love it.
Yeah, you know, that didn't come across as right, because I hate to be arrogant, because he had a lot of good ideas. But, like, hearing that clip of him, something about it really... I'm still digesting it, because there were parts of it I really respected, and parts of it that, well... But now I lost my train of thought, Eric.
Well, no,
I just got it. I'm sorry. Van Riper made
it's
the
funny
point.
When, you know, there's like some confusion and then the person that tries to come in is stuttering, but the person remembers. Yeah. So then it's like you don't want to come in and interrupt me stuttering, but you remember and you have to say it.
No, it's true. Van Riper
cool stuttering moment.
He made the point that we stutterers spend too much time thinking about our stuttering when we should be paying attention to our fluency, or what I like to call not stuttering. And that's I think what I find interesting about that point is he reminds us that our bodies are physically capable of speaking without stuttering. That doesn't mean we can do that all the time. But to me, it suggests we are not broken. We have a glitch in the system. And from my standpoint, we can work on that glitch. We can identify that glitch. We can play around with that glitch. We can modify that glitch. Sometimes we choose to avoid that glitch. Which I'm not recommending, by the way.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time accepting that statement. Just because...
Why?
When we say our bodies can do it, it isn't our bodies. It's something else.
What do you mean by that? It's something else.
So a person who just stutters a lot, or whether it be overtly, covertly, whatever, how do we know that it's possible that that person, without not speaking at all, can stutter less. I mean, do you really, really believe that?
I really, really believe that there is worth in paying attention to how you talk if you wish to do so.
Okay. Okay, we're getting sidetracked.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question here, though. Do you think if when you were in your dark days, and I'm kind of changing the subject here a little bit, that if you went to a person like Van Riper, this kind of tough love, gregarious, loud, you know, as he did several times on that clip, just cut people off and say, no, that's not right. And it didn't go to Phil. Yeah. Do you think, and obviously it's just the guess and conjecture and whatever, do you think you would have had as positive an experience with a person like him? Why?
Because I've seen tough love people in action. I worked for a summer at the Successful Stuttering Management Program, and I observed Dorvin Breitenfeld lead. He didn't lead that program, but when he's there, it's kind of hard to not have him lead that program. Like it's true. He's got a personality that's really domineering.
Yeah, but a person that does know stuttering, though.
His views are very similar to Van Riper's. His attitude, hearing Van Riper talk on these clips, reminded me of working under Dorvin Breitenfelder, with Dorvin Breitenfelder, watching Dorvin Breitenfeld. And that tough love persona, it really turned me off. It really turned me off. And I watched in the intensive group that quite a few people who stutter really liked it and were drawn to it. And others were involved in a therapy where they really hated the therapist. They didn't like the guy. And that made me really sad. And I, you know, a part of me thinks I shouldn't be using his name, but there's not a lot of examples I can use because it seems like an older type of therapist. Like that tough love attitude, I've only ever, you know, I hear it on those old recordings, and I've seen it from a therapist who I think is retired now. And I don't think, I mean, I was pretty much, had dealt with most of my stuff by that time, and it still turned me off. Because I saw how it affected some of the stutterers there. And so I guess it just points to the importance of really finding a therapist who you think is going to be a good match for you. It's like dating. It doesn't mean the girl that you're sitting across from is no good. It just means she might not be a good match for you.
Because certainly there is something positive about a person who pushes, right? And for change to happen, obviously a lot of people, you know, I guess certain personalities need something like that. Like, I think that I would have liked to have had that.
I would have liked to have agreed with you, Eric. Like now, like when I took some defense courses a few years ago, which were pretty intense. They were very, a lot of working out. And the instructors were guys who were very tough love. And I didn't respond to it well. I didn't like being, quote, broken down. You know, and I feel like there's a little bit of that going on in this therapy. Like, Van Riper didn't say the words, "You really like the way you sound because you sound kind of stupid." But that was the vibe I was getting. And I don't think when I was in a deep, dark place, I would want to hear that.
Yeah. It's,
Oh,
we can't really say, you know? Like, because certain people need something like that, kick in the ass like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Which is why it's refreshing to hear Van Riper talk in those old clips, because no one talks like that anymore, right, that I know. However.
Well, we sort of do.
I don't think we come anywhere near the tough love that, I mean, Van Riper, true. I think he,
in the, and I'm not comparing myself to Van Riper. just let me put that on record and say that.
It's like for people who don't really quite know what we're talking about, that's like Eric comparing his guitar playing to the Beatles. I mean, there's certain things you just don't do.
Guitar playing, I could shred George Harrison any day.
Okay, songwriting. Thank you. Now we're really big dorks.
And wait a second, I have to take back that comment too, because George Harrison's one of my favorite guitar players.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a really good guitar player.
Let's finish this up, and Peter, you wanted to take us somewhere.
Yeah, Van Riper mentions a couple times in that short clip that people who stutter have secondary gains from their stuttering. And what I think he was hinting at are things like when we stutter, we basically force people to pay attention to us. Like, that would be a secondary gain. What do you think about that, Eric?
I thought what he was referring to was more the fact that when we let ourselves stutter, we're saying a lot. We're expressing something. Yeah, it completely relates to what I've been talking about in the past couple of shows and what I'm going through, what I'm sure a lot of people are going through, that there's something about just letting yourself stutter that makes you feel really good. And yeah, if you want to look at that as a gain, fine, you know, but to me, that's okay.
That's really interesting. I mean, I think that's a really interesting and valid interpretation. I also think he just sort of meant when you stutter, you get attention, and even if it's negative attention, you get attention. I thought that's what he was referring to. Okay.
Yeah. It sounded like he said a person gets a lot from stuttering like that. And like that, he was referring to the person who stutters out of control, perhaps, like that. Yeah, you know, a person does say a lot by being able to do that. And that should be taken into consideration, I think.
Okay, fair enough. So, maybe I should have announced at the beginning of the show that I am dealing with major neck pain and I'm on a muscle relaxant.
I would like to take the show out with some closing words by Dr. Van himself.
The Vanster, huh?
The Vanster. Everything has an end, and a woman has two, as his uncle told them. StutterDog at StutterDog.com.
Wow, I forgot you said that.
206-888-4619.